Wolf's head. There are few horrors of the night that have so thoroughly captured the imagination of rural folk as the werewolf. Peasants, hunters, and woodsmen sit about their midnight fires on chill winter nights and tell blood-curdling tales of these monsters stalking through the darkened woods, their jaws slavering in eagerness to sink their fangs into the tender young flesh of a lone shepherdess or a lost child. Such folklore is common throughout the Old World. In barbarian Norska, they speak of feral wolfen and flesh-eating werekin. Still further north, there are tales of the skin-changing Ulfvernar. In Ostermark and Ostland, it is the Beowulf that haunts the night, passing its lupine curse to any hardy enough to survive a bite from its fangs. In Stirland, there are tales of subhuman hillmen who shed their human forms when the sickly light of Morsleeb casts its foulness across the night sky. In Middenland, such creatures are known as Ulrikskinder, and actually venerated by the cult of Ulrik. The debased inhabitants of ghoul-haunted Sylvania speak of doom wolves and hulking bestial fiends called Vargolfs. The Bretonians speak of Le Loup Garou, another terror to be protected from by the knights. As widespread as stories of werewolves and belief in such creatures is among the unlettered rustics of the country, very little serious scholarship had been conducted into the truth of these legends. Indeed, even the most complete bestiaries treat the subject with only passing mention, if at all. There are few accounts of the werekin made by what could be considered an educated witness that had been handed down. Discounting the spurious report by Felix Jaeger of his encounter with the children of Ulrik in his Sensationalistic, My Travels with Gotrek, Volume 2, we are only left with the unsatisfying record of Red Moon Killer, who terrorized Altdorf, as recorded in the pamphlet The Private Life of the Great Sage Detective of Altdorf, as recounted by his faithful manservant and companion. This later work is a tawdry volume published in the Moot and authored by a halfling simply addressing himself as Vido. Given such an unreliable source, the account of the renowned Zavant Königer catching a werebeast in the middle of the imperial capital can be safely discounted. I was considering the paucity of reliable stories of werewolves one evening while sitting in the Black Boar. Being a bit deeper in my cups than usual, I began inquiring if there were any legends of such creatures told in Miragliano. As I should have expected, I was soon up to my ears in ridiculous stories about verminous underfolk stealing babies and grain, but these were hardly the sort of thing I was interested in. I said as much, hoping to curtail the barrage of fables being foisted upon me, and again reiterated my interest in creatures that were not a hodgepodge of beast and man, but ones that could change from one to the other and back again. As I expected, silence rewarded my outburst. The silence was broken by a familiar cold voice from the shadows. I turned in surprise, for I had not seen my grim collaborator sitting there in the darkness. I hurriedly sat down at a table and fumbled for quill and parchment as Brunner began to tell me of his own encounter with a werewolf in the lonely forests of the Empire. Trees loomed thick and brooding on every side, casting weird shadows by the sickly light of Morsleeb. The gibbous moon glowered like the face of some malignant god from the starless sky, its more wholesome companion, Mansleeb, just a thin, silvery sliver, cringing against the horizon like a whipped cur. What had started as a clear and distinct path through the forest had degenerated into little better than a boar run, overgrown shrubs and bushes pressing in to reclaim the ground. It was rough going for the two horses that forged their way through the overgrown track, but for the man who walked behind the beasts, the passage was nothing short of tortuous. His lean face was a scabby bruise from where branches had whipped across it. His rough homespun garments were tattered and torn by the ravages of thorns, and his goatskin boots were almost shapeless within thick layers of dried mud. The man stumbled, his arms pulled taut ahead of his body, and his hands crossed and lashed together by a thick cord of rope. Its other end was tethered securely to the tack of the smaller of the animals, a gray pack horse, its back laden down with bundles and sacks, a small wooden leg lashed to its side, and the ugly hook of a halberd peeking from beneath rolled blankets.
"Shalya's blood!"
the man cursed as another branch smacked across his nose, splitting the skin.
"It's too dark to go on."
The rider of the foremost horse, a huge black destrier, turned in the saddle, cold eyes staring from behind the visor of a steel Saleh helm. The captive blanched as he felt those eyes bore into his own.
"I don't like it any better than you,"
the rider said, his tone as menacing as the purr of a panther.
"I don't like it when they want the merchandise delivered still breathing."
He leaned over in the saddle, spitting the taste of his cigar into the brush.
"You might want to mention that to Judge Volkberg when you see him."
Beads of sweat peppered the prisoner's face as he heard the name of the magistrate. Victor Schwartz had fled to the Reichland when he learned the infamous Judge Volkberg was looking for him. The confidence man had gone too far when he had assumed the title of Baron von Schwarzhelm in his last racket. The real von Schwarzhelms had taken offense at the indignity of their name being appropriated by a criminal and made their displeasure known in no uncertain terms. He had thought Stirland would be beyond Judge Volkberg's reach. He hadn't thought about the fat bounty Volkberg had set on his head to appease the von Schwarzhelms, nor how far the ruthless breed of men who made their living as bounty killers would go to collect that reward. Victor had never imagined a man as tenacious and relentless as the one who had finally caught him. Single-handed, the bounty killer had dragged him from the nest of river pirates with whom he had taken refuge. The confidence man shivered as he recalled the gruesome epilogue to that murderous scene. The bounty killer had set fire to the pirate lair, then shot down the outlaws as they came out the door. Only he had been spared such a miserable death. That had been barbaric enough, but afterwards he had been forced by his captor to help him poke among the cinders for any bodies recognizable enough to turn into the river wardens. Victor turned his horrific eyes to the wooden leg lashed to the side of the pack horse, the bounty hunter grimly called Pay Chest, and felt his stomach turn. He ran his hand against the neck, imagining the steel teeth of the killer's knife sawing through flesh and bone. Brunner was nothing if not pragmatic. Why drag the entire body away when just a head would do? The bounty killer cut a formidable aspect upon the back of his grim black warhorse, a Bretonian steed named Fiend. The man wore a suit of weathered brigantine armor, metal studs poking through the layers of reinforced leather. Steel vambraces shielded his forearms, a breastplate of thick gromril covering his chest. Bandoliers of crossbow bolts and throwing knives crisscrossed his torso, and from his leather belt a riotous array of weapons dripped like venom from a serpent's fang. The fat-bladed knife with its serrated edge, the morbid headsman Victor had seen in action among the ashes of the pirate lair. A thick hatchet, its wooden heft deeply stained from its blood-drenched career. A pair of slender, almost delicate-looking crossbow pistols hung at his hips, their blackened steel frames almost melding with a somber coat of Fiend as they slapped against the horse's flanks. Across his belly, Brunner wore a holstered dueling pistol, one of the killer's hands lingering close to the grip of the firearm. Against the bounty hunter's left hip, the sheathed length of a murderous falchion, a butchering blade capable of tearing the steel from a man's grip as easily as it could gut the man himself. Brunner's face was largely hidden beneath the visor of his rounded Saleh helm, but what Victor could see was a hard, unforgiving countenance with a mouth turned down in a perpetual scowl and a shallow gray scar pulling at the chin. He knew the man was a Reichlander by his speech and accent, but high-born or low commoner was something Victor found strangely difficult to extract from the bounty hunter's voice. Certainly the hunter's casual disdain for Victor's attempts at bribery to secure his release bespoke no commoner scraping to earn his living by such a dangerous profession. Though, perhaps, this was simply because he had not offered enough.
"You know," Victor began without preamble, "I have some rather influential friends who would make it worth your while if you—"
He paused, as another branch came slashing into his face, opening an oozing cut in his cheek. Victor cursed lividly, then struggled to refocus his thoughts.
"My friends would pay well to have me safe back and sound, and wouldn't be too particular about who they paid or why."
Victor felt, rather than saw, Brunner's steely glare as he swung back around in his saddle.
"Friends like your pirates?" The bounty hunter sneered. "All the money I want from that sort, I can put across paychecks back."
Brunner tapped the metal handle of the headsman in a grim gesture.
"As for you, I'd consider what I had to say very carefully. I'm not a tolerant man, and my indulgence is over."
Brunner turned back around, spitting the stump of his cigar into the darkness.
"Volkberg wants you alive. He didn't say anything about with or without your tongue."
All the color drained out of Victor Schwartz as he heard the threat, stunned into silence by the casual manner in which it was made. Shocked into silence, the outlaw was almost pulled from his feet as the bounty hunter's animals continued their march through the benighted forest. Too terrified even to curse, Victor stumbled along in his efforts to keep up. Suddenly, Victor found himself crashing into the rump of pay chest. The gray pack horse stood stock still, its eyes wide with alarm, its ears standing up, its hooves pawing nervously at the ground. Ahead, he could see the black bulk of Fiend, and even the warhorse seemed agitated, swinging its huge head from side to side, as though trying to spot some hidden menace. The bounty hunter upon its back was likewise rigid with concentration, listening for any errant sound among the shadows. His hand had fallen to the grip of his pistol, slowly inching the weapon from its holster. All was silence. Even the chirping of crickets seemed to be muted by some unseen malignance. Victor could hear his heart hammering in his chest, feel his throat going tight from fear. He could feel it now, as surely as the horses and the hunter. There was something out there, something obscene and unnatural. From somewhere deep in the forest, a piercing howl rose into the night. It was a savage, feral sound, both deep and sharp, seeming to echo in the very bones of those who heard it. It was not unlike the cry of a wolf, but of such volume and magnitude that defied belief. Victor muttered a quiet prayer to Tal, god of the beasts and the wild, as he heard it. The bounty hunter's horses nickered and stamped their hooves in agitation. For his part, Brunner drew his pistol and checked to see that the firing cap was secure upon the weapon's steel nipple. A chill wind rustled through the brush, fanning the terror of the two horses, forcing the bounty hunter to forget his weapon for the moment to quieten his steed. Victor dodged out of the path of the bucking pay chest until the bounty killer dismounted and calmed the draft horse as well. When he turned from the chore, Brunner ripped the pistol back from its holster, allowing his other hand to slip around the hilt of his falchion. Ahead, in the darkness, a shape moved, creeping through the brush towards the two men. Brunner aimed his pistol at the approaching shadow, his finger loose around the trigger. The slightest pressure would send a lead ball blasting through the head of the advancing wraith. Though he could make out nothing but a darker shadow beyond the bushes, the manner in which Fiend and Paychest reacted to the unseen denizens of the dark was enough to make him aware that it was not a natural thing.
The woods and forests of the Empire were havens for all manner of goblins and beastmen, as well as other, less wholesome inhabitants. A few more steps, and Brunner would make the wilds of Stirland safer by one less monster. The bounty hunter gave a sharp cry of alarm as the pistol fell from his gloved hand. The leather smoked where the suddenly white-hot weapon had seared him where he gripped it. The spectral chill of sorcery whirled around him, creating a sinister contrast to his burnt hand. Brunner tore his falcon from its sheath, staring into the darkness, ready to rush his spell-slinging foe. The shadow he had seen before was no longer there. The bounty hunter's instincts caused him to spin around towards the other side of the path. A dark figure smiled at him with a ratty, gap-toothed grin as Brunner raised his falcon to strike.
"None of that, sweetie,"
the figure croaked in a voice that was withered with age and evil.
"It's no harm Mama Miranda means to you. It'd be a true pity for me to have to burn your other hand now."
As she spoke, the woman stepped forwards into the dim light of the moon. She was a little creature, barely tall enough to touch the fetlocks of Brunner's charger, her back almost as crooked as a woodsman's bow. She leaned upon a knobbly cane of oak and was wrapped tight in a dark woolen shawl, the hood pulled close around her scraggly white hair and shriveled head. It was a desiccated, reptilian face that stared from the frame of the hood, the skin splotched with brown blemishes and wrinkled like old leather. Her nose was a little bulb set above her wide, rodent-like mouth, and the eyes that gleamed from either side of it were strangely luminescent in the darkness. A tangle of charms and talismans rattled about her throat and dangled from her wrists, bearing symbols of Ahalt the Drinker and other, even more unspeakable gods. Brunner slowly lowered his sword, carefully returning it to its sheath. Miranda watched the action with seemingly rapt attention. Then her rat-like grin hardened.
"Don't you think I see you going for your knife while you put yon boar cutter away?"
The old woman cackled.
"It's a good turn I meant you, and you have nae right to bear me such ill."
"Is that so?" the bounty hunter returned. He folded his arms across his chest in a seeming gesture of defeat. "What have I done to warrant the interest of a witch?" Miranda scowled at the word, and her glittering eyes took on an even uglier appearance.
"It's careful you should be about baiting me, child. There's powers I be beholden to, and they be the ones what have an interest in you. Nay, old Mama Miranda. Left to me, and I'd leave you to have your bones picked clean and your guts spilt across the forest."
"I care nothing for your demons or your magic, witch," Brunner growled back. The fingers of his left hand slipped gradually beneath the vambrace on his right arm, reaching for the slender throwing knife hidden there. "I have business in Reichland, and no desire to waste words with a heretic hag." The witch uttered a cackle of scornful amusement. She stabbed a crooked finger at Victor.
"Your dead man will never reach the judge, and weeds will grow through your gnarled bones, and a fitting end it would be too."
Miranda's scowl grew even sicklier, and she fingered one of her talismans. A metal sliver of moon intersected by a disk.
"Unfortunately, it would sit ill with my masters if I were to allow harm to befall you because of my magic, and their displeasure is not a thing to be taken lightly."
With a speed that even Brunner found amazing, the old woman removed a bundle of weeds from beneath her shawl and threw them at the bounty hunter's feet.
"You are not the only hunter abroad this night, Brunner of Drakenberg. When the beast picks up your scent, you must burn these herbs."
Miranda saw the incredulous twist of Brunner's mouth.
"There are things against which lead and steel are not enough," she warned. "That is when you might be thankful for an old witch's magic."
Brunner bent down to retrieve the bundle of herbs, using the motion to cover his hand, as he finished pulling the knife from beneath his armor. His eyes were only off the witch for an instant, but when he straightened to hurl the weapon at her, he found himself staring only at the night-blackened forest. He fought back the twinge of supernatural dread the hag's vanishment evoked.
She disappeared, right there, while I was watching,
stammered Victor, pointing with his tethered hands at the empty bushes. Brunner stalked over to his captive, checking his bonds. The witch might have vanished, but his prisoner wasn't going to follow her.
She was a witch,
Victor gasped. He grabbed Brunner's arm in a desperate gesture.
She said I would never reach Judge Valkberg, that I was a dead man.
Brunner shook off Victor's grasping hands. The hag was wrong, he hissed. You should be worried about what the judge is going to do to you, not some crazed witch's predictions. The bounty hunter walked back to Fiend, his contempt for the witch's words still ringing in Victor's ears. That Brunner did not discard a bundle of dried weeds, but stuffed them carefully in a saddlebag, was an observation the frightened Victor failed to make. He was too busy listening to the renewed howling in the darkness, and trying to convince himself it was not closer than it had been before. The wolf howl dogged Brunner through the long hours of the night, sometimes closer, sometimes farther, but always there. The persistence of the howl had made Paychest all but unmanageable, and even Fiend was on the edge. As for his captive, he had been forced to tie Victor to his own saddle to prevent the fear-crazed man from trying to scramble into a tree every time he heard the howl. A broken leg would make getting him to the Reichland a good sight more difficult, and Brunner would just as soon avoid such complications. It was when the howling dropped off entirely that the bounty hunter came on edge. Victor, oblivious to Brunner's increased wariness, took the silence as a sign that the wolf had forsaken them to find less formidable prey. The continuing agitation of the horses made it clear that the predator was still close. When the attack came, it was of such speed and ferocity that even the bounty killer was caught unprepared. One instant, there was the darkness of the path, the brambles and thickets pressing close to the overgrown trail. The next, a pair of red eyes shone from the darkness. Brunner drew his pistol, even as a terrible growl rumbled through the night. Branches snapped as something lithe and powerful lunged from its hiding place. Brunner had an instant to observe the sleek black shape as it leapt upon him, bowling him from the saddle and smashing him to the ground. It was a wolf, a huge specimen of its breed. Its jaws flashed white in the moonlight, froth dripping from its jowls. Brunner fired a pistol into the beast as its leap brought it crashing against him. Shocked when the brute did not as much as yelp when the weapon discharged inches from its snapping fangs. A misfire was always a possibility, but the smoke and fire should have been enough to scare the animal off. His second shock came as he struck the ground, the beast atop him. Brunner felt fingers close around his wrists, pinning him to the ground. As he stared up at his attacker, he only saw the canine snout and black-furred head of a wolf, its eyes gleaming with a cruel intelligence. Nursery fables and half-remembered legends flooded into Brunner's mind as he felt the baleful gaze of the wolf fixed upon him. He fought down his superstitious dread with more difficulty than he had in his encounter with the witch. Natural, or child of old night, the surest way to die beneath a predator's jaws was to show fear. Unfortunately, the same lesson had not been taught to Victor Schwartz. The outlaw pulled at his tether, shrieking and wailing like a lost lamb. The noise of his terror brought the wolf's head snapping about. Whatever intellect might lurk within the beast, it had no mastery over its savage instincts. Brunner felt a heavy weight press down on him. Then the wolf was away, springing off him, and pouncing upon the screaming Victor. The prisoner fell beneath the beast's weight, crushed to the earth with savage violence. Blood spattered the bushes as the wolf's claws tore into him, each of its hand-like paws clawing into his body with feral brutality. Victor's high-pitched screams degenerated into a bubbly gargle as the wolf's fangs snapped close around his neck and began to worry at his throat. Arterial spray, almost black in the moonlight, spurted from the wound, bathing prey and predator in Victor's blood. Brunner staggered to his feet, his chest still feeling the crushing weight of the wolf against it. He drew his crossbow pistols from his belt, taking aim even as he watched the beast slaughter his prisoner like a wayward calf.
"Your pelt better be worth 300 crowns, cur!"
Brunner snarled, loosing the bolts from his pistols into the wolf's back. Both missiles struck home, stabbing into the beast. Brunner took a step back, once again struck with shock and horror. The bolts had struck true, but their effect could have been no more useless had he loosed them into a side of beef. The wolf barely deigned to notice the impact, but continued to savage the quivering body of its prey. As it snapped and slavered, the bolts seemed to work themselves loose from the body, falling into the mush of dead leaves on the ground. Brunner tried to tell himself it was not some trick of light and shadow, but the effort was too great. It was no wolf that held its prey in paw-like hands, and no beastman who defied bullets and bolts. It was something else, something that, as the witch had warned, did not respect steel and lead. The bounty hunter pulled his tinderbox from a pouch on his belt, hurriedly trying to light the withered weeds the old woman had thrust upon him. The wolf beast seemed to take notice the instant he began. It dropped Victor's gory carcass, its muzzle pulled into a snarl as it fixed him with its scarlet eyes. The creature slowly crept towards him, an angry growl rumbling through its powerful frame, keeping itself upright upon two legs, its clawed hands closing and opening in their eagerness for violence. The weeds had just begun to smolder, the first faint hint of noxious smoke rising from them, when the wolf beast lowered its head and coiled its body into a crouch. Brunner dropped his tinderbox and dragged the hatchet from his belt. The move was only just in time as the wolf lunged for him, uncoiling in a black-furred streak of bestial fury. The bounty hunter twisted as it jumped, staggering from the glancing impact instead of being crushed beneath the beast's body as he had before. As the wolf dove past him, he lashed out with the axe, slashing its edge through fur and flesh, hearing the steel scrape against bone. But when the beast was past, and he looked at his axe, he found the blade unmarked by blood. He did not need to be a witch to know that the wolf's hide was similarly protected. The wolf coiled to spring again, but, as it did so, it began to shake its head, snuffling loudly. It brought a forearm scratching against its muzzle, then rolled its face in the dirt. Brunner could see that a bundle of weeds was now smoking fiercely, the pungent reek almost overwhelming. Its effect on the wolf beast was even worse, and with a mournful wail, like the whine of a child, the brute darted towards the trees. Before it could vanish, Brunner was pulling his sword from its scabbard. If the weed could wreak such havoc on the beast, perhaps they had also foiled its invulnerability to steel. He started after the wolf, but the familiar sound of an explosive crack caused him to drop. The trunk of a nearby tree exploded with splinters as a bullet slammed into it. Brunner rolled onto his belly, watching for the hidden shooter. The wolf already vanished into the undergrowth. After a few moments, he could hear the unmistakable sound of a rider blowing his way through the undergrowth. The glow of a lantern appeared in the mark of the forest, soon followed by the one who held it. The rider was a well-dressed man. The doublet beneath his engraved breastplate was extravagant and colorful. His stiff cavalry boots, monogrammed with gilded letters, his rounded helm sporting outrageous plumes of ostrich feathers. The sword that hung from his belt was thin and rakish, with a jeweled hilt and silver etchings along its scabbard. The man's face was clean, handsome in the classical imperial style, with well-tended mustaches, waxed into twisted curls. Pale blue eyes regarded Brunner with alarm, and a smoking pistol almost fell from the rider's beringed fingers.
"Taw's mercy!" the rider gasped. "I didn't see you there. More zoof, I only saw the wolf."
"Then you missed," Brunner said, picking himself from the ground and gesturing at the injured tree. The bounty hunter's eyes were narrowed and filled with menace, scrutinizing the horseman and his weapons. The rider's face flushed somewhat at the remark, and he shoved his pistol back into its holster with an embarrassed motion.
"I am truly sorry," he said. "I didn't know there were other hunters abroad tonight. Those damn Kislevites will be whoring and drinking by this time, and, well, they are burying Otto in the morning."
Brunner stalked over to his horses, trying to quiet them down. Only the fact that it was tied to Fiend's saddle had prevented Paychest from bolting during the ghastly encounter. He paused to regard the rider. His interest piqued, not by apologies for slovenly marksmanship, but by mention of hunters and a hunt.
"What's this about a hunt?"
The rider seemed to be taken aback by the question.
"Then you weren't engaged by my father?"
"I don't even know who your father is," Brunner said, patting and rubbing the neck of his pack horse. The rider straightened in his saddle, throwing out his chest in a manner that would have looked out of place even in a cirque play. "I am Baronet Dietrich Hartog, son of his lordship the Baron Friedrich Hartog."
"An awful lot of barons for one stretch of forest," Brunner muttered under his breath, looking sadly at the gory wreckage of Victor Schwartz.
"I am sorry about your friend," Dietrich said. "I will help you take him back to the village for burial."
Brunner turned away, shaking his head and pulling himself into Fiend's saddle. He cut the tether and threw it onto the ground beside the body.
"Leave him,"
the bounty hunter said, his voice cold. He cast a last glance at the mangled corpse.
"He is not good to anyone now."